But I'm also the president of Mid-America Recycling here in Des Moines, Iowa. And after graduating from forestry school at Iowa State, and I have to apologize, Senator Segebarth is tied up in a legislative action up on the Senate floor. He and I are actually forestry school buddies. We both graduated at the same time from Iowa State. So I was looking for a chance to get back at him. But I missed that this morning. One thing, though, I want you to know is that I'm very passionate about Iowa's environment. And I've been working in the environment and recycling business ever since graduating in 72 from Iowa State. And one of the things that we've seen and I'm passionate about is Iowa's countryside and the beauty of Iowa's roadways. As you travel throughout the United States, you don't see what you see in Iowa. If you don't get out of Iowa, you're not going to recognize that we actually have it better than most every other state in the country. Our roads are clean, our countryside's clean, our farms are clean, our cities are clean. And a lot of it has to do with the success of the bottle bill that we're going to talk about today. Back in 2000, and this is 2017 for those of you that are in a time warp, this is the 39th anniversary of Iowa's bottle bill being passed in the legislature. In 1978, Governor Ray and then Representative Terry Branstad had a vision to make Iowa a better place to live, keep Iowa cleaner, and start to improve Iowa's environment. And they sponsored and wrote what is known commonly today by everyone as Iowa's Bottle Bill. The law has been embraced in a strong bipartisan fashion across the state of Iowa. Its citizens, its government employees, and since 1978, the Bottle Bill has worked. It has kept Iowa clean, and it's still working today, and is a founding piece of legislation that has helped Iowa lead the way in the country in environmental protection. At this time, I'm pleased to announce and be joined with Ann Seltzer, who's here to further discuss the popularity of this bill. Ann?
Thank you. I was commissioned to do a poll of active Iowa registered voters to sort of check in on the bottle bill and see where it stands in terms of people's attitudes toward it. Is a good thing for Iowa, is a bad thing for Iowa? And I just have a few data points to share with you. First of all, a big question is, does it work? Is it effective? Are people, in fact, redeeming the cans that they paid a deposit on? In our poll, we found that 62% of households say that what they most commonly do with their cans and bottles that are subject to the bottle law is to redeem them at a store or a redemption center. In terms of people just throwing them in with their regular trash, that's a very small percent, 5%, who say that that's what they most commonly do. So some are giving them to others, to groups, to redeem. Some of them are throwing them in the recycling. That's a very small number. But most commonly, people are doing what the bill intended to do. It is very popular in Iowa. 88% say the bottle bill has been good for Iowa. That's nearly universal approval there. And they also say, when asked, three choices here, whether the bill should be kept as it is, whether it in fact should be expanded, or whether in fact it should be repealed. You'll see that most commonly people see it as needing to be expanded. By a 2-to-1 margin, 40% say expand it versus 20% who say repeal it. Well, that's a sign of the popularity of the bill. Finally, I think one of the telling questions in the poll was an agree-disagree statement about whether, in fact, the bottle bill, there should be a national law. And not only do 78% agree that the bottle bill should be national, it includes 51%, a majority, who strongly agree with that, which says, in summary, that the voters in Iowa think the bottle bill is not only good for Iowa, it's good, period. And I'm happy to answer some technical questions. This was a poll of 700 active registered voters. This is a poll taken toward the end of February, lasting about 10 minutes, covering various aspects of the bottle bill. And I'll turn it over to Troy.
Good morning. My name's Troy Willard. I've operated and owned the can shed in Cedar Rapids for the past 20 years. We service retailers, consumers, distributors, all in a different variety of ways. We have walk-in locations in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City that we have regular visitors of 300 to 400 people a day bring their cans and bottles back to us. We also run routes to retail establishments, grocery stores, convenience stores, bars, restaurants, really any type of business that has a need for our services. We also work with the distributors to pick up their containers, make sure they get recycled and processed and off to end markets. This takes place all over eastern Iowa. Our 40 to 50 employees, depending on the time of year, handle and sort over 100 million containers. That's a lot. That's annually. All told, with all the processing that we do, we processed over 12.5 million pounds of material. And that's all due to the bottle bill. We love the fact that our business does so much to keep Iowa litter-free, keep these materials out of the landfill, and provides those jobs. One of the other benefits that we enjoy is the fundraising opportunities it provides for good groups in our area. We work with American Legions, we work with schools, different athletic groups, Habitat for Humanity, and last year we raised over $67,000 because of the bottle bill for those groups. I'm not surprised by the results of the poll. Our customers that come in every day tell us about it, and they fear that this might be repealed and what the consequences of that might be. I hope as we discuss the benefits and the popularity of the bill, we realize the potential to make it better. There is work that can be done there. And promoting a better bottle bill will help the growth of small businesses, encourage more recycling, and serve Iowans better. Thank you. Turn it over to Representative McKeon.
Good morning. I'm State Representative Andy McKeon. I represent Jones and Jackson and part of Dubuque counties. And I was first elected way back in 1978 when the bottle bill first went into effect. And over the years, I can attest to its popularity and its effectiveness. I would like to see it enhanced and expanded as part of a comprehensive statewide recycling program. It would be my hope that this could spur economic development, could result in more profitable redemption centers, and also take the burden off of our grocery stores that have been having to handle these cans and bottles for all these many years. But to do so, all the stakeholders must get together and be visionary, much like Governor Ray was and Governor Branstad was 39 years ago. I think we have a tremendous potential here, and I'm looking forward to seeing a more expanded and enhanced bottle bill in the years ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representatives. Well, you get lucky to get me twice. It's St. Patrick's Week coming up, and Irishmen never turn down a microphone. As the president of Mid-America Recycling, I'm going to take off my MC hat and actually talk to you about what I do for a living and the passion I have for what I do. We're the largest recycling company in the state of Iowa, and we're the largest single-stream processor in the state, in fact, in all of the Midwest, west of the Mississippi. The next largest facility is in Denver to the west, and the next largest to the east are in Chicago. One of the things I want to talk to you about for the next couple minutes is what really is going to happen if the bottle bill were repealed. The bottle bill and single stream work together hand in hand. It's bottle bill has been a cornerstone of recycling for the state of Iowa since 1978. And it still is today. It works hand in hand. And what we're going to see in the future with concepts of repeal and putting everything in the single stream curbside programs around the state, everyone thinks that's a silver bullet. Well, I was going to bring a silver bullet in, and I figured I couldn't have got in the building with that. Even though it would just been one bullet. So I left that back at home. It's a plastic one from my grandsons. But it's single stream recycling is not a silver bullet, and I can tell you that factually. No one else can tell you the costs involved other than someone that runs a single stream operation. And there's only three or four in the state, so there's only three or four people capable of actually giving you that response. And the response is, if we repeal the bottle bill, the citizens of the state will incur increased costs for their recycling at home. It's common sense logic. The facilities are built around the system we have since 1978, where the majority of the containers are removed. Single stream recycling requires a flat and a round. It's basically a 2D and a 3D processing for the mechanical sorting. And the more round you put in, or more 3D, means the more systems we have to put in. The facility in Des Moines, we're a progressive company, and we know that anything can happen. We've already had our engineers and the engineering companies come in, and we told them, what if, and we have the answer to the what if. What if the bottle bill goes away? It's $10 million to the citizens of Central Iowa, because I'm going to have to retrofit our facility. And guess what? Our contracts tell us we need to pass that back on to our customers. And guess who our customers are for single stream recycling? You, the citizens. So single stream recycling is not a single solution to the issue. And I think Representative McKean said it perfectly. We need to work together and find those solutions that make it work. The bottle bill and single stream recycling have made Iowa one of the top. That's okay. Well, 81% of the people in the state of Iowa know. And that's what you put out on your curb in your bin, and it rolls out of your house, and it's picked up all mixed together. So if you picture the omelet you had this morning for breakfast, it had egg, it had cheese, it had peppers, it had pork, because we're the best pork state in the union. And you're done eating, and you scrape off your recoverable material into a bin, and you put it out on your curb. You send me that material, which is your bottles, your cans, your newspaper, your cereal box, and et cetera, et cetera. Now you've asked me to separate that and put a nice pile of peppers out, a nice pile of pork out, a nice pile of mushrooms, and put the egg back in the shell and put it back on the shelf and reuse it. That's what single stream recycling is. So as you add more and more containers, that work becomes more and more difficult. So that's what the $10 million expansion in our facility will have to be. The other problem is single stream recycling material is about 27% less valuable in the marketplace because it came from the mixed omelet versus the deposit material we have today. So for example, glass, which everyone seems to be concerned about recycling in the state, loses 120% of its value when it goes into the single stream versus coming from a deposit system. It basically has a negative value at that point. The aluminum cans, everyone says it's not part of the recycling system. Oh, the aluminum cans will pay for the systems. The aluminum cans don't. We lose 27% of our aluminum value because it came from the deposit system from the single stream versus the deposit system. PET plastic, the bottles that you probably all have in your hands when you're here and you drink your soda pops or water beverages, they lose 30% of their value versus deposit versus that. That's not even the biggest problem. And I got to look here to make sure I get my number right. Nationally, we recover 29% of all those materials under the deposit law today. Not counting the water bottles, they're not in the deposit system. 29% of those containers are recovered nationally. And nationally, there's single stream everywhere. Again, that silver bullet. We recover 88% of our containers here in Iowa through the deposit system. And we recover a few more that have missed the deposit. So we do a much, much better job on that segment of recovery. Why would we want to repeal that bill? There are solutions out there. There are other systems out there. All require the deposit legislation to remain intact. Oregon, Maine, both have thought outside the box, just as Representative McKeon asked us to. And they have systems that work at no cost to the state, at no cost to the citizens. But it is a deposit system working with the single stream systems in the state. Bottom line is, single stream and the bottle bill work together. Iowa's a top five state recycling in the country. Yes, our little population does a pretty darn good job, but it's because we have the ethic, and the ethic was created in 1978 by the visionary Governor Ray and Governor Branstad to create something that gave us an ethic to start recycling. That's why it's the cornerstone. You pull the cornerstone out of a building, what happens? It tends to tip over. What's going to happen if we repeal the bottle bill? We're going to go backwards. We're going to get back to 29% recovery from 88%. I can't tell you where all those bottles are going to go, but they're not going to come into my facility. The people will, they disappear. And where do they disappear? In the countryside and on the roadways. Most of the cans and bottles today are at home or at work consumption, and they either wind up in the trash or they're in your car and they wind up out the window. We do not want to go backwards. So the bottle bill is important. You've heard the popularity from the poll. You've heard Senator McKeon, who's been here since the start. It works. And that'll conclude our formal presentations. Now we'll open it up to questions if anybody has questions. And Ann, if you want to jump up, because I'm sure some of the questions will be around the poll, I would assume. We're open for questions at this time, and Troy will be available as well.
Let me walk you through exactly. So we asked people, first of all, do you ever do this with it? And then we said, what do you most commonly do? So these percentages will add roughly to 100, except for rounding. So 33% say they or someone in their household returns them to a store and gets the deposit back. 29% say they or someone in their household returns them to a redemption center. So that's the number that adds together to give you the 62% that I talked about before. 14% say they give them to someone else, a person or an organization, to redeem. 18% say they put them in the recycling bin. 5% say they toss them in with their regular trash, in with that would go directly to the landfill, bypass you altogether. And 1% they don't do any of these, implying that they're not part of the system. Does that help?